This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Number 239 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And my name is John.
What's up, John?
Oh, you know, stuff and things. Things and stuff. How about stuff, Mike?
Yeah. Same here. Stuff and things. Things.
I saw a headline appear on my little Amazon Echo show today that said, "Is the country ready for a nationwide lockdown?" I'm like, yeah, hopefully they are. Hopefully... You know, they're planning on it.
Well, they just announced tonight a third vaccine.
Yep.
So that's cool. And
this one only has a 70% efficacy as it stands, but they said that they could up to 90%.
Well, they also said that they did some small batch testing that got it to 90%.
Yeah.
And they tested a small portion as opposed to like a large portion, I guess. I don't know all the fine minutia, but still it's a third one. So that's a positive.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to see a huge spike in numbers probably first couple of weeks of December when everyone gets done their Thanksgiving travel. And that'll cause the shutdown over Christmas. So
2 million people flew on planes this past weekend,
which is down from last year, which was like 7 million.
Yep.
But it's the largest travel weekend I'm flying since mid-March.
Yeah. Crazy.
But I get it. I mean, I understand the mentality that a lot of people have of it's been so long. I just want to see my family or F it or whatever. I get that it's been such a long time that maybe there's a feeling of hopelessness or what difference does it make or other people are flying. Why can't I, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, all right, cool. But that's what's going to cause the spread. That's what's going to cause increases. But again, whatever. There's figures that show like the school districts in New York that have less than 4% positivity, and their schools are shut down. And then there's schools in South Dakota that have 50% positivity, and their schools are still open. So, you know, to each their own, I guess.
South Dakota is a clusterfuck right now.
Well, they also allowed Sturges to happen.
Yeah.
So... Yeah. Anyhow, we finished two shows this week.
Did
you start any shows?
I did, but it's something that you've already seen, so.
Okay.
Did you watch any shows?
I don't think I did.
Okay.
I don't think I did. Oh, you know what I forgot to watch? Oh, no, I didn't forget to watch. It's not on anymore. Never mind. So let's say Soulmates. We finished the final episode already.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. That's right. Rotate that down to the bottom of the list.
Yes.
Under my list of shows that have concluded for this season.
Yep. Yeah, we had planned last week to finish one. We had said, let's watch the final episodes of Cobra Kai.
Let's watch the final three. Yep.
Yep. Actually, we finished three shows this week because... Cobra Kai, we knew that this was going to be the series finale week for Supernatural.
Sure, yep. And then we decided, kind of spur of the moment, to finish Staged, because there's only one episode left.
Right. And that was a good decision.
Yep, I think so. Cobra Kai, final three episodes of season number two.
So this was 8, 9, and 10. Yep. I was very happy... Every time I booted up Netflix to watch Cobra Kai, I was always greeted by the same image of the two girls
standing
at each other.
There with a cup in their hand on one foot. Yeah.
Yep. So I was very happy to see that episode 8 finally gave us that moment.
Yep. Me too.
So basically, yeah, they all kind of merge together, but essentially in episode 8, the kids all have a party and decide that they're gonna, the girl that's throwing the party invites Sam and all the, Miyagi-Do guys. And
that was like, episode 9. The party was that episode 9? Yeah. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Episode 8 was, Johnny's dreaming about Carmen. And then he decides to try online dating and it doesn't work out well.
Oh, yeah.
And then he meets a girl at a bar that has the same mentality as his. You bump into someone, then you offer to buy him a drink. And then, you know, that's that. But while he's at the bar, he sees Carmen's new boyfriend, who's basically like, well, once I bang her, I'll kick her loose.
Yeah.
And so Johnny, you know, gets distracted from his date and goes outside and confronts him. And I think it's funny when the guy goes to punch him and Johnny beats him up and he goes, I'm taking it easy on you. And the guy goes, this is taking it easy or yeah. something like that. That was hilarious. Yeah, but this is also the episode where Miguel and Hawk like make up because they were enemies that day, but now they're friends, Cobra Kai forever. And then they decide to go to the roller rink. Because Miguel's girlfriend works there, and Sam and Robbie show up there,
and it was a theme party. It was a dress up theme party for the 80s.
Well, that was episode 9. Oh yes, the roller rink was an 80s theme. Yes, that's right. So I like Robbie was dressed. Everyone keeps saying I look like this Dan Jansen guy,
and it's
Don Johnson, Miami Vice, and then Miguel's wearing Johnny's Cobra Kai red Cobra Kai leather jacket from the movie allegedly.
Yep.
But yeah, so Sam and Tori getting a little scuffle butt, and Sam knocks her on her ass while she's on skates. She works there as a waitress, and then gets Sam and Robbie thrown out. So.
Well, she trips. Like, Tori trips Sam, kind of knocks her down.
Yep.
A little bit. And then Sam's like, I'll show her, and fucking ass leg over tea kettles her.
Yeah, leg sweeps the hell out of her.
Yeah.
She swept the leg, dude.
She did. And that caused her to drop the tray and
hit her head on the floor. And yeah.
And so definitely, Sam is kicked out by the people that work there because this was one of the more realistic things that I've seen in a while. You know, when you're working at a place like that, you back your people.
Yeah.
You don't say, oh, the customer is always right. You say, no, you did something to my employee. Yeah. Therefore, you're the bad guy. You get out.
Exactly. And that's how it should be, quite frankly.
Yeah. You stick up for your people.
You know, one thing that happened that I didn't expect to have happen, and this is unrelated to our television program right now, by the way.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Johnny's wet dream.
No. Well, I mean, I kind of mentioned it, but anyways, it was my daughter, my youngest daughter, my middle daughter, my only daughter. God, my youngest daughter, my middle daughter, my middle child, my only daughter. She got into that Riverdale series that was on the CW.
Gross. Right?
Yeah, I know. Kanan loved it too. Gross. But he's over it now. But that led her to seeing an Archie comic book, one of those digest comics, and like buying it because she wanted to read it because she knows Riverdale is based on the Archie comics. And now she's like, absolutely loves and is obsessed with the Archie comics.
Huh.
Archie Digest comics.
Well, that's good. Something good came out of it.
Yeah, I thought that was sort of a really funny, like, okay, how'd that come from that type of thing? But yeah, there we're at. Sorry.
No, that's good.
Anywho.
That's a happy note.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, episode 9, they go to Hawk's ex-girlfriend invites Miyagi-Do and Cobra Kai basically to a party so they all can just get along because we start school again soon.
None of them know that the other team is going to be there, though.
Correct. And they go on the party. They go to the party, and that's when the girls have their drinking contest and Sam gets totally drunk. And then what's her name? Tori. Sam's friend. I can't think of her name now. Huh? No, not Tori. Aisha tells Sam that, Miguel brought back Mr. Miyagi's purple heart or Medal of Honor and gave it to Robbie, et cetera, et cetera. And you know, so now she's mad at Robbie, and Robbie's reasoning for it was because he knew that he didn't want Sam to get any Miguel to get any points back with Sam, because Sam clearly still likes Miguel, as you can tell from their kissing that they did.
Yep.
Which Tori was not a fan of.
No. No.
Also,
by the way, Tori had a disadvantage going into that drinking contest because she had just had a drinking contest against that other kid and beat him. So yep. She was already several beers in.
Yep.
And then her and Sam went toe to toe and matched it until they did the vodka shots. Tori, like, was already inebriated, and she's not a big girl. Neither one of them are. So, you know, that alcohol hit them hard.
But clearly she's been drinking more than Sam. So,
fair,
you know, like in general in life. So she has probably a better tolerance.
Right.
Dimitri tries to kind of make up with Hawk, you know, and be like friends still. Even they even talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah, he's talking about the female doctor, and seems like it's going well.
Yeah. And then Hawk calls him a pussy and pours a drink on his head. So Dimitri gets on, like, the karaoke machine and basically humiliates Hawk. And
tells everybody what's the bed.
Yep. And then a fight breaks out, sort of. It gets broken up immediately because the cops all of a sudden show up, so everyone flees. On the other side of things, Carmen, Miguel's mom, and Johnny are going out on a date at a Mexican restaurant, which apparently does family-style seating, because the LaRussos, of course, show up on their date, and they all get sat together at the same table.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, it starts out with childish tension between Daniel and Johnny, that Daniel's wife calls them both out on, and it sort of basically leads to when the girls were in the bathroom, like, them kind of talk about Kreese is out of things because that's not what he wants to do with Cobra Kai, et cetera, because, yep. And so now they're getting along, and by the end of the episode, you know, they're having drinks together and joking around with each other and, you know, shake hands and we don't need to have a war.
That's right.
And then, of course,
they're going to be buddies again, so you know things are going to go bad.
Oh, and they do immediately in episode 10. Because episode 9 ends with Robbie and drunk Sam showing up at Johnny's house.
She's basically 10, drunk and tells Robbie, oh, don't take me to my home. My dad will kill me. Take me anywhere else. So he's like, I'll go to my dad's house.
Yeah. So essentially the episode opens with Daniel going to Johnny's because they track Sam's phone. Because they can't find her. They don't know where she is. Aisha's even like, you were so drunk. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, and first off, the technology there, like the fact that mom knows the password, that's kind of cool. You know, she's like, don't ask me right now. But then, like, they open up the laptop and immediately there's a full screen chat messenger that just happens to be messaging right at that time.
Well, that's what's convenient.
Yeah, I hate that kind of stuff.
In episode 8, Johnny was had pulled up Allie on Facebook and was going to send her Allie Mills there a Facebook message on Messenger, and then he decides he's going to delete it, but he gets bumped by someone. He accidentally sends the message. That's important to know because that comes into play at the end of this episode.
Yeah, I thought when Daniel shows up at Johnny's place, I thought Johnny actually took the right approach. You know, he didn't say, come on in. He was like, look, you need to cool down. Things happen. You know, kids will be kids. Just take a deep breath. Then I'll let you in. And Daniel's like, no, you'll let me in now. My daughter's in there. And I get, you know, he's a dad. His daughter's been missing all night.
Nah, he was over the top.
He was way over the top. He kicked the guy's door in.
Yeah, he is over the top. But, you know, it keeps with the pattern of who's the real bad guy.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know, because for years it was always Johnny and Danielle was the, you know, the victim or just the hapless bystander. And then if you look at the movie in another way, where Danielle came in and did XYZ, and I like how they explored that, and, you know, not only on How I Met Your Mother, but in the early in season one of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it continues. Now, where they both do things that are childish and stupid, but so then some you know, it feels like they want to say time has passed, but it's only been maybe a week or a few days because now school started.
Yes.
And it's like It's the first day of school. And
which isn't that usually, you know, how a season starts rather than ends?
Yes, typically. But it's like the first day of school. And
well, hold on. I think you're getting ahead of yourself. Because you're in episode 10 now. We didn't finish episode 9.
We've been in episode 10. When Daniel shows up and kicks the door in, that's all episode 10.
Okay. Well, then you forgot to talk about, didn't Johnny throw away his phone in episode 9?
Nope. That's at the end of episode 10.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Continue then. Like I said, they all kind of merge together for me.
So it's the first day of school, basically, and Johnny drops off Robbie at school, and which they seem to be getting along just fine. And, of course, Daniel drops off Sam right at the front door. And, you know, you can have your car if you weren't grounded, blah, blah, blah. And I think they're in the opening announcements, and Tori breaks into the office and, like, rips the microphone away from the girl doing the announcements and calls out Sam and says she's a dead woman, calls her a bitch.
It sounds like she inflicts violence upon the girl, because you hear a scuffle and the girl's like, you can't have that. You can't. And then you hear like a whoom. Oh.
Yeah, there's an ass whooping going on.
Yeah.
And then basically for the next 20 minutes, we have a giant fight scene throughout the school between Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do, basically.
That was a pretty
awesome. Okay, first of all, this is okay. The fight scene was great. I agree with that. But this is a California high school. There's no security guards. There's no dare officer. I mean, this fight went on multiple parts of the high school, multiple floors of the high school, but it all started in one spot and then grew from there. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And yes, it's a big, giant fight scene.
Well, they were interviewing Stingray to be a security guard because, you know, obviously they needed them.
Yeah. And then Stingray goes and beats up kids.
It beats up kids for his buddies in Cobra Kai.
Yeah, exactly. But Miguel shows mercy to Robbie.
Yep.
He's basically like, look, I've gotten you beat, but this is not honorable, and we need to work this out. Basically, Miguel's trying to take the high road. And
that's a funny way to put it based on what happens next.
And then Robbie kicks him. And
off the high road.
Yeah, off the balcony, over the balcony railing. And Miguel lands on, like, the guardrail of the stairs, which, God, that had to hurt like a sumbitch if that was, you know what I mean? Like, that would be a horrific landing. Like, I think that would be worse than, like, landing on the floor.
Yes.
But he falls down, you know, a flight of stairs, if you will, like, over the guardrail down to this first floor, lands on the handrail, and he's at the hospital. Basically, I think he's got a broken back, maybe a broken neck. He's kind of got the head, the halo going on, and the full chest gear thing when he's in the hospital. Johnny, of course, races to the hospital to check on him. Carmen blames Johnny, of course.
Well, yeah, because he was a good kid until Johnny got a hold of him.
Exactly. Daniel shows up, and it's interesting because Daniel shows up and at the hospital. Hold on a second. What do you want to tell me? What do you mean, which one of these have Roblox?
I just realized this one does.
Yeah, and I'm using it, so you can't use it right now. You can use this one for Roblox. I think I put it on here for you. Why don't you use yours?
I mean, I wanted to play this game called Retail, but kind of different. It just got released.
Okay, well, here.
But they made it Roblox.
Well, go see your mother about signing you in or whatever. I don't know. Sorry about that. He's 5. I don't remember Daniel in this episode very much, other than he runs to the hospital to be by Sam's side, and his wife is like,
he's at the dojo. Yeah, he's at the dojo, and his wife comes running in. And she's like, oh my God, the school just called. Because, yeah, you've seen him in the episode, because he started off the episode kicking in the door, and then he drove her to school. And then,
but I don't remember him confronting Daniel. Like, I don't remember. Oh, okay. I remember it now. I was trying to think. I don't remember them fighting at the hospital with each other, because I figured they would.
Right.
But when they do see each other at the hospital, they just ride silently down the elevator together, and that's it. I expected Daniel to blame Johnny for that. And I'm trying to remember, like, did they not see each other then? If that didn't happen, but no, they did. They just didn't talk.
Right.
Johnny goes back to Cobra Kai dojo. I'm assuming he's going to destroy it.
Yeah, because he's been drinking and it's late at night.
Yep. But he hears, like, practice going on apparently in a back room with no lights on out front, because that's how they do that. I don't know. That didn't make sense to me.
I feel like that was all set up for effect, but realistically, it wouldn't have happened because, right. You know, if it's really what we saw, then they would have been right out front, like, we own this place now.
Yeah. And basically, Kreese is like, I'm teaching class. What do you mean you're teaching class? This is my dojo. No, it's not. Basically, he stole Cobra Kai out from him because the landlord, he had a handshake agreement with him. Apparently, the landlord didn't like Johnny, so Kreese cut a deal with him. And he's basically, when Johnny was out with his dying friend, Kreese stole Cobra Kai from him. Yep. Then.
The building, at least.
The building.
Well, so. And he finalized it with these students because they're basically pissed that Miguel showed mercy.
Yep.
And that was because of Johnny. So they're like, fuck it, we're going with this guy.
Yeah. And it took Johnny, you know, the whole season to learn that, not really to learn that John Kreese was a bad person, but. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with season 3. This does end with Johnny going to the beach, and that's when he throws his cell phone into the sand, because his cell phone it's got an update, it's got notifications, and he just can't figure it out, and this and that and everything. And he listens to a voicemail from Miguel from that morning when Miguel had called him, and Johnny ignored it. Basically, Miguel's like, hey, I need some help with women. I have a girl problem. I really could use your advice, Sensei. It'd be great. Maybe after school today, I can meet you at the dojo. And, you know, my mom's kind of working late, so maybe we can go get burgers at that place that you like, and we can talk about this. So, you know, he's looking for his dad.
Yep.
And Johnny feels like he failed him, of course. So he throws his phone and leaves his car because it's all painted up like Cobra Kai.
And throws the keys in it.
Yeah, and we see the phone where it says that he got a Facebook friend request from Allie Mill Schwarber. Schwarber, yeah. So, and then we watch the trailer for season 3, which was very short, but it shows Miguel waking up at the end, and that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does show Kreese has fought somebody, and his face is kind of bloodied up.
Yes. So. I'm wondering if this will be the season that Daniel and Johnny join forces to take out Cobra Kai.
Probably it is.
I wouldn't be upset.
January 8th, 10 episodes. I'll drop it Netflix at once.
But of course, we'll be watching one a week because that's what we do.
Yep. Until we bow down to peer pressure of everyone else wanting to talk about it, and we just say, screw it, and we watch the whole thing.
Well, that's one nice thing about this pandemic is that, you know, we don't have peers talking to us as much.
That is very true.
And very sad.
Sort of, yeah. Well, technically, I guess, yes, it is sad. Anyhow, I really enjoyed this show very thoroughly.
Me as well. I liked the fight scene at the end of this season, although it was very ridiculous. You know, like you said, the fact that there weren't any security guards, or I'm sorry, the one security guard who did anything grabbed the two little wimpy nerdy kids, threw one over his shoulder, and like dragged them off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's true. The one, yeah. So.
Anywho.
You want to talk about stage those last two episodes?
Yeah, we had Ulysses and the Cookie Jar.
Mm-hmm.
Ulysses, they introduced another actor who they wanted to have join them, and he's basically, it seems like he's better than either of them. I liked the running joke that they had in there about Ulysses. Like, he basically tells Simon that he's read Ulysses twice, and Simon's like, wow, that's a really thick book. And then Simon's sister's like, wow, that's really impressive. Go you. I've only read it once. And he's like, yeah, I'm thinking about doing it a third time. And then when he gets on with David and Michael, he tells Michael, yeah, I've read Ulysses twice. He goes, oh, well, huh. Okay. And then he tells Michael, he's like, hey, Michael, this guy's read Ulysses twice. And Michael's like, well, it is a tough book. So, you know, like making it sound like instead of it being a good thing, like, oh, you had to read it twice to understand it. I thought that was hilarious because Michael's a dick.
He really is. Yeah.
But basically, they try to introduce this actor to, you know, round out the cast. And it doesn't go well because these two are just such assholes that they won't work with each other still. The main thing though, it's funny, like that's supposed to be the main story, but the main reason that we actually decided to, jump ahead to the next episode was because of the B story, which had to do with Michael's neighbor there. Correct?
Yeah, that's why I wanted to keep watching.
Because basically, and it especially ramps up in the end of the episode is, when you're doing the PS, is that Michael had seen an ambulance show up over at his neighbor's and he's trying to find out what's going on, but nobody will talk to him. Like they won't give information because he's just a neighbor. He's not family. And, you know, his wife says that they saw a stretcher go in and it was very somber and very like real. This was one of the first times that I've been watching a show like this and it felt like real. Like we've watched Superstore and This Is Us and they're tackling the pandemic and, you know, we've talked about how it's bleeding over into our shows, but this one, just the fact that she was an older woman and this is all going on, and then just watching the realism of all the actors, you know, you got Georgia and David, and then you've got Michael and his wife, who I wish I could remember her name at the moment, that are all like video chatting and they're trying to find out, you know, like, well, is she okay? You know, what's going on? And you've got Michael over here like, well, I know her name was Lauren and Hannah. And
Hannah is Michael's.
Oh, okay.
Girlfriend.
And she has family somewhere, you know, he knows like little bits about her and it's dawning on him that he really doesn't know her that well as he's trying to convince these people to give her information. And, you know, he's been calling the hospitals and trying to find out what's going on with her. And it just ends on such like a cliffhanger kind of, but like a realistic, like I felt like I was there, you know, I really felt like I was there watching one of my neighbors get carted away and like, holy crap, are they going to be okay? It was, really well done. Just the fact
that it was really well done
that they could instill that in me. And I'm assuming you, because your message came through the same way. You're like, I really want to watch the next episode. I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to know what's going on here.
Well, and they did Michael Sheen a little bit when he was basically describing her as being like, you know, she's short, she's got gray hair, she's a miserable human being, she's a terrible person, but she's so lovely and wonderful and kind, you know.
Mm-hmm. She makes a terrible whatever that pie was that she made him. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it either.
But so basically we jumped into the next episode and did not get any answers right away because of course we didn't. Instead, we got one of the coolest things. I guess you'd say a cameo. We already had Sam Jackson, but
well, it opens with them basically David deciding he doesn't want to do the play after all.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to this special character coming in to tell them actor to act.
So Simon is talking to his agent there, his, you know, the woman. And I loved her interactions. Like this was real British humor right here. Her interactions with her assistant off screen, you know, she's like, bring me my phone, your secret phone or your regular phone. Don't you talk to me in that tone of voice. And he's like, she's like, yep. So you've tried to make things up with Michael and David. And he's like, yeah, I have. And she goes, have you sent them gifts? Have you sent them like this and this? And he's like, no. And she goes, I did. I had my assistant take both of them like a bottle of wine or something. And he's like, but Michael lives in Wales. Oh, you sound just like her.
Yeah. Isn't that illegal? Because that's another country.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're not supposed to cross borders during this pandemic. And she's like, oh, you sound just like her.
And I like when they cut to Michael and David talking about the flower delivery girl. And she also had all these balloons in her car. They said like a one-year-old. Like, well, she's probably doing a lot of deliveries at once. I know. It just seems really odd. And she wasn't very polite about it. No, she wasn't. Like, I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, or the fact that David was like, yeah, you know, the flowers are really nice. And Michael's like, yeah, and the wine was great. And he's like, wine? No, the flowers were great, yes. So obviously David didn't get any wine.
That's true, yeah.
But basically, the agent is like, okay, I've got one trick up my sleeve. This person owes me a favor. And she essentially, I mean, it was kind of ruined when the opening credits started. You saw it right there. But she basically has an in with Judi Dench and calls Judi Dench. And Judi Dench gets on there and basically scolds both of them.
It was hilarious.
It was hilarious because both of them were just slackjawed. Like, Michael actually tried to hit on her. And it didn't, like, she didn't even blink. She didn't call him on it or anything. She just moved on like he was nothing. And David even says, you tried to seduce the dame. He's like, well, can you blame me? He's like, no, I guess not.
But I liked how they agreed with everything she said. And, like, no matter what she would say, they would, like, agree with her or they wouldn't lie. It was just, it was funny. It was hilarious. It was like
watching two little kids getting scolded by their mom. And
yes,
she basically told them, she's like, you can't say no. And they're like, well, you always tell people to say no. And she's like, exactly. Do you think that I do? And they're like, no.
No, you always tell people to never say no because then they'll stop asking.
That's right.
But don't you say no? Well, of course I do.
I'm Judi Dench. Do you think they
stop asking? No, I'm Judi Dench. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She's basically like, you guys are not on the same level as me. She's like, oh, it's so tiring being the first pick for everything. Michael's like, I know what you mean. She's like, no, you don't. I'm sorry. No, I don't. It was just awesome. And then she comes back later. And the reason that it's called the cookie jar is because she brings the whole series full circle. Because the first time they all got on the call together, Simon tried to get them to do the cookie jar. You know? Yeah. Someone stole a cookie from the cookie, and they were just like, fuck off. You know, this is juvenile. And so she actually brings it full circle, and she's like, you know, well, why don't you try doing a warm-up? Like, do the cookie jar. Both of them are just like, And then they just break right into it simultaneously, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I enjoyed it thoroughly. I really enjoyed her on the show. I thought she was great. She put them all in their place. She put them all... Yeah, I just thought it was awesome.
And because people who are listening are probably wondering, yes, we did get confirmation that the neighbor is okay.
Yes.
And it was a very heartfelt, like, sigh of relief kind of thing. Basically, her, what was it, her son called Michael?
Her son, yeah. Called him, let him know that she's okay.
Yep. Yeah, she's okay. So, and it was touch and go, but she's good.
And then the other thing in this is that David wrote a script. And I feel like the PS scene is the six of them, Michael and his girlfriend, David and his wife, Simon and his sister, all sitting down and they're reading the script and they're both reading different roles. And then, of course, you know, they make fun of David because, like, the best parts his published author wife helped him with.
Uh-huh.
And on and on and on. And I think what I like the most about this is the whole six episodes is Simon is trying to get them to rehearse and go over the play, and they won't.
Yep.
And when we finally see them running lines at the end, I'm thinking, oh, they're finally doing the play, only to find out they were reading David's script instead. Yep. So we never actually saw them rehearse the play at all.
And Simon has been relegated to playing the part of the dog.
Yeah.
So they just be like, a dog barked. And he's like, woof. And they even comment later on. They're like, wow, you know, you really changed it up there. You had different woofs in there, different barks for different dogs. And he's like, yep, it's one of my skills.
But I appreciated the show. It was obviously, I mean, it came out in June. All six episodes, you know, birthed in June.
Yep.
Two episodes a night, three consecutive weeks. So obviously this was filmed at the height of the pandemic or right at the beginning of the, you know, the pandemic. So I got to commend them for what they did and the creativity and everything and how well it came out.
Yep. It was very meta because the whole purpose of the story in here was that they wanted to rehearse a play so that after the pandemic, they'd have something.
Yep.
And essentially what staged was something that happened during the pandemic so that they'd have something.
Yep. Yep.
They wanted to be the first show to talk about the pandemic, and they were.
I don't know if we'll get a second season out of this. It'd be hard unless they did the second season, like, now took place in, like, Christmas time while they're still in lockdown type of thing.
Right. Which, I mean, it could be possible.
Yeah.
Oh, David Tennant and Michael Sheen will be returning to Zoom for Staged Series 2.
Oh, nice.
Staged has been renewed for a second season with the two acting juggernauts as exaggerated versions of themselves, giving us something to look forward to.
Nice.
It says, again in their homes, as early as November of 2020. Wow, this must be an older article. Let's see. I can't say. Oh, no, this was Thursday, the 22nd of October.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was a month ago.
Series 2 of Staged will follow Sheen and Tennant as they try to navigate their new normal at home, virtual Hollywood. Yep. Cool. So, yeah, we're definitely getting a second season. Apparently, they've already had a teaser.
Oh, nice.
All right.
Excuse me. Cool. All right. I definitely get behind that.
Yeah. Next.
The Conners was good again.
Okay.
I enjoy the show. Arlene thought she was pregnant. She was trying to get pregnant, thought she was pregnant, and then it turns out it was because she's actually starting to go through menopause, so some L levels are elevated in her, which gave her false positive.
Oh, that's so like a... That's double. Like, that's not only are you not pregnant, but your window
never
is
get pregnant
rapidly
again.
Closing.
Yeah. So it's an interesting show. It's a good show. They're dealing with life during the pandemic as well, you know, at work, trying to navigate life in general with this all going on. So it's interesting. I don't know how to show you watch. That's all I'm going to say about that. Remember last week when I watched Law and Order SVU and how I was so turned off by it because it's like I watch TV to escape what's going on, not see what's going on the news.
Affirmative.
I watched the second episode, and the second episode was a lot better. It was more of like a standard storyline that just had complications to what's going on because they have to, you know, the show is taking place during the pandemic, during COVID time. So, you know, the people wearing masks, the grand jury is different because of how they have to station people out with plexiglass and separate people. You know, the courtroom scenes are all different and how people, so they are reflecting the times we're going through because it's the pandemic, but they're not talking about it. We're just seeing it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, they're not actually talking about the pandemic or COVID or we can't do this. You know, saying, well, the grand jury is like this because of the pandemic. No, the pandemic has been going on, so they've already adjusted. This is what the grand jury is like, or this is what the courtroom is like. So we're just seeing a reflection of what those times now, which I'm cool with because the story wasn't. It was a decent episode. I mean, you can only do so many things with a show. Like, Law and Order doesn't have their hands cuffed, if you will, as much as, say, Supernatural does, because you can have a rotating cast. I mean, yes, Olivia Benson's been there since episode one, and Ice-T's character's been there forever, but the rest of the cast kind of rotates through and mixes things up and changes things and everything. So, yeah. That's it on that for me.
Well, I'm glad that it turned out better than the last one.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Supernatural?
Geez, why did you sound so dejected about it?
I didn't like the episode.
Did you watch both things?
Yep. I mean, the special episode wasn't really an episode. It was more like, hey, let's talk about this 15 years of this show and make you feel good about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in that respect, that was enjoyable.
That was enjoyable, yeah, because it was
they go to Eric Kripke in there, which was great.
Yep. I thought that was good too.
And I liked some of his insights where, like, he said that for the first three seasons he was like, nope, no angels whatsoever, because he didn't want to have something in there that could just snap their fingers and make everything better. And then he said that suddenly it dawned on him, oh, why not make angels dicks? And suddenly it was like, let's get lots of angels in here. So I liked that. A lot of it, though, you're right. It was just like people saying, oh, this was, you know, this was fun and we like this, and talking about some of the different characters. And but yeah, that's all it was just a 1-hour special. I felt similarly about this episode. I didn't like a lot of it. The very ending was emotional because it was supposed to be. But I felt that that was kind of unearned and rushed.
Yeah, it was. Like, I've seen them do aging Sam or aging Dean much better than they did in this episode.
Yes.
I feel like if we were not in pandemic, we would have seen all kinds of characters coming back. I think we would have seen a much, almost like a Scrubs-esque send-off, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have liked to have seen that.
The real season finale of Scrubs, not the new Scrubs interns.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Instead of getting that shot of them on the bridge, and then the whole cast, not even the cast, the crew, waving. Like, I wanted to see everybody. I wanted to see Alona Tal come back. You know, I wanted to see Joe. I wanted to see Garth. I wanted to see
Jody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring Randall over from This Is Us and let him play. Yeah. What's his name there again?
And when they're in heaven, let's see all their friends.
Yeah. Instead of just Bobby sitting in front of what, a general store?
Yeah.
In the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And talking about, what did he say? Like, Rufus lives 5 miles up that way.
Yeah. Your mom and dad have a house right down the road.
We're not going to show them to you. You know, we brought mom in for the past couple seasons, and we brought her in for the behind the scenes special episode, but, you know, couldn't get Jeffrey Dean Morgan because, you know, whatever. Yeah. And it felt so unearned. Like, the we'll just talk about it. It's spoilers, you know, hopefully you're caught up, people, but, you know, Dean's death felt very unearned. Like,
so anticlimactic.
It was an accident. Like, he got bumped against the wall and he's like, there's something stabbing in me and it's holding me together. And
it's like, okay. In the show, there's been a bunch of time has passed since Jack became God and he snapped his fingers and life came back to the way it was.
Yep.
And they just kind of living their lives and they go on a vampire hunt in Ohio. And immediately, basically, Dean's killed.
Yeah. He's faced God. He's faced the darkness. Yeah. He's faced everything else. Yeah. And he gets taken out by a nail in a wall.
Yeah. A piece of metal sticking out of a wall that he accidentally gets his back thrust into. And he dies from that. And then we're left with Sam. And then Dean goes to heaven. And we get the monologue, like you said, from Bobby, basically saying, like, oh, Jack made heaven a better place. Oh, that's good. Yada, yada. And then Dean jumps in the Impala to go for a ride through heaven while they play Carry On, Our Wayward Son on the radio, which I was pissed this episode didn't start with that.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah,
and instead we just get lots of camera shots of the grill of the Impala and then Sam driving down, Dean driving down roads. And then we cut to in between Sam has apparently left the bunker and he's out doing jobs. And then evidently he met someone, but we don't know who, just some random person. And then he has a son who he calls Dean. We know that because he's got on a pair of overalls that say Dean on the front.
Yeah.
And then we watch Sam grow old and his son grow up, and his son's got the tattoo on his arm, like, you know, the
warding mark there.
The warding tattoo they have on their chest, thank you. And then Sam dies as an old man. And then boom.
Yeah, he's in heaven. He just suddenly appears next to Dean.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, dude. If Dean goes to heaven and he looks like that, how he did when he died, why is it that Sam goes to heaven and doesn't look like how he did when he died, but instead reverts back to how he looked when Dean died?
Thank you.
And why couldn't he have been like a younger version of himself?
Right. Or...
So, yeah, it felt very unearned, very tacked on. Like they just kind of were like, shit, we got to do something here. We got to finish this up somehow. So I get what they were doing. They were trying to, you know, go back to what they originally did, which were hunts, you know, hunts for vampires and monsters and stuff, which, by the way, I don't know about you, but watching that special beforehand and seeing the early footage of them fighting actual monsters and ghosts and stuff made me want to go back and watch the first few seasons again, because that was so fucking clutch. And I loved Eric Kripke talking about that.
Yep.
That he wanted to write a show that was all about urban legends and monsters and, you know, the scary ghost fire, campfire stories that you tell. Yep. And it turned into this, you know. People love it. Good for them. I'm not saying that they're wrong for loving it. I'm saying that what I loved about this show is a lot different than what it's become now.
Same here.
So, yeah, I was not a fan of this. And, yeah, I got a little choked up at the end hearing the song.
Yeah.
And, you know, knowing that this was all over for them, for us, etc. I was like, okay, it's done. It's over. You know, 15 years is a long time. They said it's like the longest running this type of show.
Right.
But I don't know. I didn't like it.
Yeah. I know it received positive reviews from critics and they said, oh, it's a satisfactory conclusion. I didn't think so. No. I didn't think it was.
No, they essentially closed the door.
Quite frankly, inherit the earth or they defeat God.
Yeah.
And Jack becomes God and all that stuff. That's really where they should have ended the story, with the Winchesters say, hey, we get to write our own story now. And they drive off
into
the sunset.
I was going
to
say, they drove off into the sunset. Like, that was it.
That is legitimately how it should have ended. That should have been the end of the series.
Yep.
And at that point, they fire up Carry On, Our Wayward Son, and we see a montage of, like, all 15 years.
Yes.
Like, that's what they should have done, instead of this, what they gave us.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't a fan.
Nope. Me either.
But that's that.
It's over.
Sticking with the ghost theme, Truth Seekers.
Mm. Comic-Con.
Yeah. What'd you think of this?
I think that once again, with some of these other shows, we're getting more questions than we're getting answers.
Yep.
But I'm kind of okay with it for right now.
Mm-hmm.
I love watching Malcolm McDowell in anything. And I really love him here as the bumbling, inept father. And he's not really inept, but he's like disconnected. And he's kind of joking with what's her name there? You know, Elton's sister. And saying, you know, yeah, I love your videos. And this guy leaves me alone all the time. So you truly know what it's like to be alone. And I was a little groan. I groaned a bit when, you know, Elton steps away to get another ticket and the woman's like, oh, come on, you got to come in and sit down. And his dad gets ushered in there without,
yep.
You know, that was a little slapsticky, a little ham fisted. What'd you think?
I thought it was a good episode. I'm really curious. All right. So we see this guy, the thing that you said that, you know, his dad gets pulled into. And with this Dr. Tony B or whatever it is, Tony B, yeah. Where he hypnotizes everybody and then he inserts a nanobite or nanobot into all their eyes.
Yep.
But at the same time in the basement, there's a group because Elton and Astrid go into this immersive horror experience, but they go to the wrong place. They come across this real group that's doing this real ceremony that has relation to do with what's happening with the people being hypnotized. But yeah, yep. they don't conclude their incantation because they get interrupted. See what I mean?
Yep.
So I thought that was dumb.
Don't forget too, in the cold open of this episode, the guy who's hypnotizing people on stage, we get to see him as a younger man. With the old guy who determined like that you could transplant souls, and they're doing an experiment where he sucks the soul out of a mouse.
Right.
Like the body of the mouse disappears, but the soul's essence is still there. So
right.
You could see that this young man is getting
schooled. And he puts it in a radio.
Yep. So you have to assume that the hypnosis is something to do with that. You know, further stages of this experiment, I guess.
Yes, it does seem like that is what.
Because the hypnosis, even it was like It was video images flashing on the screen rapidly, and it reminded me of those, like, conditioning videos that we'll see, or mind control videos where, like, they pry people's eyelids open and show them these images that brainwash them to, like, hate cats or something like that.
Yeah. Okay, I keep buying that. I don't know, dude. I had a problem with that. I did like what's his name? Gus helping Helen win her cosplay contest by going into being in the Dalek costume. I thought that was awesome.
It was a pretty good Dalek costume too.
Yeah, it was. No, it's a funny show though, and I enjoy it. I just had a problem with how they broke that up so easily.
Yeah.
Again, we're halfway through now. Yes. Well, like when the guy pulls a knife out of the group doing the incantation, and they think it's just a joke, and then they leave, and then one guy accidentally stabs the other guy in the neck, and blood shoots all over. And it's like, wow, that looks real, you know? Yeah. And then they run off because his sister's in the cosplay contest, but doesn't realize it's not actually her. And
yeah. Yeah, so they should have been running off for their lives, but instead they're like, oh, we got to get back to this. And the guy who sent them to the immersive horror experience is like, you never showed up. And they're like, yeah, we did. It was terrible. And he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, all right. Sounds good. So, Queen's Gambit.
Oh, I thought we were going to stick with Ghost.
Oh, why? What's after? Which one would you want to? Oh, Bly Manor.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. We can talk about Bly Manor. Peter's a... Does your mom listen to this, by the way?
No.
Okay. Peter's a fucking asshole. God, when you texted me the other day that, like, your mom wants to know why I haven't talked about Oak Island, do I know it back? I'm like, oh, my God. Does John's mom listen to the show? Because I need to stop swearing immediately.
No, like, she'll tell me about stuff. She'll be like, oh, my God, this is so great. You know, Oak Island's back. And then, like, each week she'll be like, did Mike talk about Oak Island? I'm like, no, actually, he didn't say anything about it. Why hasn't he talked about it? Does he know that it's back? So.
Okay, that makes sense. But I was just like, I was mortified. I forgot to mention to you, I was mortified for, like, a day. I was like, oh, my God.
Worse from me.
And I know, and I was like, well, John swears all the time, and he knows his mom listens. Like,
yep.
I guess it's okay, but, yeah.
Oh, dude, when I'm playing games and I'm getting ripped, you know, the C-bomb is dropping out of my mouth regularly.
So Kanan's room is above the playroom.
No, Kanan is not the C-word that I'm talking about.
I know, but Kanan's room is above the playroom.
Yep.
And Kanan's room has – our house is 150 years old next year, so it's got one of those cool vents that just opens up so the natural heat rising will go in his room type of thing.
Yep.
Like old houses have. And he'll be up in his room playing, and Kate's like for instance today on his he had a study hall, and so he's playing video games with his friends or on his lunch period or whatever, and he's just like fucking A, and he's like yelling, and Kate like will tolerate it for so long, and then finally she'll go upstairs and be like, Kanan, I can hear you downstairs clear as day, you need to stop.
I'm sorry. I feel his pain.
Yeah. But no, Peter.
Peter is a twat waffle.
This was the part two episode.
Yes. Which it now makes sense why they split them up so far apart.
Yes, it does. But basically, Peter is dead, and he kind of learns how to be a ghost at Bly Manor, what he needs to do, how to possess living people temporarily.
Yeah.
But he can do permanently if he's invited, he figures out. So he figures all this stuff out. So that's a good chunk of the episode is him figuring that out.
Like he knows he can't leave Bly.
We go through that whole process of him like possessing, the girl there.
Miss Jessel.
Flora. Not Flora. Yeah. Miss Jessel goes to possessing her and then she
Rebecca.
Rebecca. Yeah. Thank you. And she tries to leave with him and he gets ejected out of her, you know. Because he can't leave the grounds.
And then he's pissed at her for it. Because
he's a piece of shit.
And then?
Oh,
yeah. Go ahead.
We cut back and forth. We see that Danny's tied up and bound and gagged in the attic. and Miles LaFleur are talking to her. Basically, through the whole episode, the big chunk of the episode is Peter finding out what he can and can't do.
Yep.
And then eventually, he possesses Rebecca and kills her, has her commit suicide while he's possessing her.
Yeah, he tells her that he's figured out a way that they can be together.
Yeah.
And that she has to let him in, and it's going to work. And she's like, okay. Because we find out that basically when somebody gets possessed, they get shifted into a memory.
Yes.
And it seems to be a specific memory for each one of them. And Peter, now that he's dead, he seems to keep, like, he can only go for so long, and then he gets jolted back to this memory of his mom showing up.
Yeah.
And it's one of those where it's never explicitly said, but basically his mom shows up and tells him he's a piece of shit, and your dad would kill you if he could because of what you did to him. But it sounds like what he did was he turned his father in for molesting him.
Yes. That's what it does sound like he did. Also, we learn that the longer that you're a ghost at the manor, like your face starts to melt away, if you will. And that's why we have that faceless girl that kind of trucks along through that path, and she grabs Peter by the throat, and that's how he dies.
Yep.
So basically the way they're going to do this is that Danny's going to take the kids and leave the grounds because she sees the ghost now, and they can't allow that to happen. And they had a plan that Rebecca was on board for with Peter, that in a few years they were going to possess the children and get the children to swap with them, if you will. And then they would become the children permanently and grow through their life. And the kids would then be stuck in some dream, or permanently stuck in their dream worlds, if you will, with, but now they're going to see their mom and dad. And that's how they lied to them about it, basically saying, oh, do you want to be with your mom and dad?
Mm-hmm.
So Peter possesses Miles. And apparently Rebecca tells Flora to pretend that she's been possessed, because Rebecca can't go through with it.
Right.
So Miles, Peter Miles now, Miles Peter, goes off because he's got to talk to Hannah. Basically, because Hannah's walking around all cocky and arrogant and not accepting that she's dead and this and that. So Peter Miles brings her down to the well and just shows her where, hey, your dead body's down there. And then, like, Hannah basically has a switch that goes off. Now we see her going back into her dreams again and starting over with interviewing the cook and all that stuff.
To borrow one of your phrases, he basically cuts this giant promo on her.
Yes, he does.
And he tells her that he's learned from the ghosts that every one of them has a moment when they realize. And he compares her to Wile E. Coyote.
Yes.
Basically says, you know, Wile E. Coyote runs out over an edge and he keeps running until he looks down. Well, Hannah, you need to look down. And he makes her look in the well.
And he says, cool. Meep, beep. He says meep, meep at her, too.
Oh, dude, that was the greatest use of meep, meep I have heard outside of a Roadrunner cartoon. Like,
it really was.
It was so sinister because everything had built up to that. This whole promo, she looks down, she sees her body, and then he just looks at her and goes, meep, meep. Dude, fucking epic.
So when Danny's trying to get Flora to leave after Flora's untied her and everything, now Flora all of a sudden is like, doesn't want to leave. She doesn't want to leave without Miles, et cetera, et cetera. So now she's kind of fighting with Danny. And Danny gets grabbed by that lady in the lake by the throat and drags her off. And that's how we last see her.
Yeah. This part really...
That's how the episode ends.
Yeah. This part really bothered me just because she essentially, like, Miss Jessa tells Flora, you know, you got to get out of here. And she's like, okay. And then as soon as she starts going and Danny's like, yeah, we got to get out of here. She's like, no, I can't go without Miles. Like, she flips it around and she's like, ah, she's screaming for Miles, 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 ah, and she fucks them over.
But she seems to know that Miles is possessed by Peter and is beyond hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was right there when Rebecca told Danny that there's no hope for Miles now. He's gone.
Yeah.
There's only Peter.
Yeah. There is no Dana, only Zool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seemed like a dick move. And, you know, to your point, she should have known. Like, she should have already been on board and been like, yep, this is how we got to do things now. But instead, she was like, no, I don't want to.
With only two episodes left, do you want to finish it up?
Yeah, we might as well. The description of the next one says that we're basically going to get the history of Bly Manor, starting with the original woman who now terrorizes the grounds.
I'll say, okay, so that'll explain her ghost character so they can fix this.
Basically, it sounds to me like they're going to keep us hanging, so we're going to learn her backstory before we find out what happens with Danny.
Yeah, that seems accurate for this show.
Yeah.
Queen's Gambit?
Queen's Gambit. What do you got?
Are you still watching it?
Yeah. And like I said, I managed to stay awake. I was shocked today to read that Netflix has released that this is the most binged show that they've ever put on.
Hmm. Well, we're in episode 4 of 7. They're in Mexico City. They go early because Miss Wheatley wants to meet up with her pen pal from when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in Mexico for a few days before the tournament and then after. Beth, the two guys that she kind of meets like in the second episode or maybe even the first episode, mm-hmm. second episode, I think it is, when she goes to her first tournament and after she's adopted and these guys are just like, if you don't stand a chance. And now we see them a lot and now they're in Mexico. Now they're all good friends. Mm-hmm. And like Beth is most comfortable hanging out with them because that's who she's around. You know, Beth's mom spends a lot of time with her pen pal. And then he kind of ditches her as well. So then they're going to spend some time together. Beth is meeting up with these other players that she's beating. She plays this one young kid. He's like 13 or something like that. And their match spans 2 days. And when they finally, at the end, when Beth wins, he basically says, she asks him, like, when did you start playing? And he's like, when I was 4. Okay, so what's your goal? Well, I want to be grand champion. When? In 2 years. Okay, so what are you going to do after that? And he's like, what do you mean? What happens after you win grand championship when you're 16? What do you mean? Like, the kid literally could not fathom. What do you mean after that?
Right.
You know? We see at the beginning of this episode, she's taking Russian classes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that comes into play later when the Russians are on the elevator and they're talking about her and they don't realize that she can understand them, or they're basically saying like, we need to beat her now. If we were playing in Moscow, she'd be jet lagged. And the head guy, the number one guy, is like, yeah, no, but we need to play. We need to beat her now here. And then, you know, she's an orphan. She's a survivor like us. She has nothing else but this game like us.
Yep.
You know, so he relates to her. And so it's funny because it's not the typical trash talking. She's just a woman, et cetera, et cetera. No, they're taking her seriously, as they should. But, you know, I fully expected them to doubt her. It's the 1950s
mm-hmm.
type of thing. They are Soviet. So I fully expected them to doubt her, and they didn't. But anyway, she ends up losing to the number one guy, which is to be expected.
Yeah.
But then she's frustrated because she talks about the loss and like he didn't play an exciting game. He didn't do anything challenge. He started first and everything he did was mundane, unexciting, predictable, but he still won.
Right.
So I thought her analysis of that was good. And then we find out her mom's dead.
Yep.
And they basically say hepatitis. So the drinking probably didn't help.
Right.
And she calls who she calls her dad, quote unquote, you know, her
mom walked out on them.
Yeah. And he's just basically like, who's this? Your daughter, Elizabeth? Oh, what's going on? Well, your wife's dead. Damn.
Yeah.
All right. And basically he wants nothing to do. He's like, do you need money? She's like, no. He's like, good. Cause I don't have any to give you. I mean, I've been seeing you've been doing well in these tournaments. You must be doing well. And she's like, well, okay. And he's like, here, go down to the bank, talk to this person and take over the house. It's yours. You can have it. I don't want anything to do with it.
Right.
So that went differently than I thought it would go too. That's why people like this show, because it's a very simplistic formula. You know?
Yeah. There's not a lot of complexity to it for a show that focuses on one of the most complex games that you can play.
Yeah, there's no soap opera dramas going on.
I like the fact that she didn't tip her hand to the Russians. You know, that would have been the perfect spot in most shows where she would have listened to them and then be, and then like spoken in Russian to like shock them.
Yeah.
And she didn't. She was just like, all right, I've got the information I need now.
But it also only would have fit for her to do that if they were talking shit about her.
Right.
And then she beats the guy and then speaks in Russian like, I guess you shouldn't underestimate people or something like that. Whereas instead, you know, she just, yeah, like you said, didn't say anything and that was the end of it.
Yep.
So I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's again, it's not a bad show. It's just, it is slow and it is tedious at times. And yeah.
All right. What's next you want to talk about? Oh, you know what? I'll talk about Oak Island.
Yeah.
So Oak Island's back. They've aired two episodes, but the first episode was a double episode, so it's technically three.
Okay.
The wife and I decided this year we're just going to buy the series pass on Amazon so we can forego all the commercials that we have on the History Channel app, which make the show more than an hour, which is really annoying. Like, they have more commercials on the app than they do if you were to watch it on TV.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, so we just decided to buy the season pass on Amazon. In her mind, it was worth it. Cool enough for me. Here's my issue with it this season. I don't think it's going to be a very exciting season because of all the COVID issues. You know, it starts out with only the Canadians out there on the island. And we see that, you know, the Rick and his brother there, I can't think of the other guy's name, Marty, they can't even get to Canada because the border's closed. And then finally, they get special clearance to go to Canada, but then they have to quarantine for 2 weeks once they get there. And they really couldn't get to the island and start doing anything until much later in the season than they normally would start. And I feel like they don't have the availability because of COVID and you know, social distancing and all that stuff to be able to do big, elaborate projects like they have done the last couple seasons. So we are seeing them do different things. We're seeing more of we've had all this big giant list of things that we've been wanting to do that we've been adding to the list over the last couple of years, but we haven't done it because we've been focusing on these big projects. Let's check all these little things off the list now.
Okay.
Yeah. So I enjoy it still. It's a great show.
But it's just not quite the same this season. Oh, did I lose you?
Sorry, I'll put my elbow on my button, my mute button, and I muted me. Ah. I don't think it's going to be as exciting this season as it has been the last couple because it's going to be a little bit more mundane, but it's still enjoyable.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to just completely delete that one because it's never going to be on again.
Delete what one?
Supernatural.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about next?
Let's jump into the Blacklist, because we forgot to talk about this last week, and we talked about it at the very last second and said, oh, we'll just do two episodes the week after. And then shortly thereafter, you and I talked, and both came to the conclusion that we weren't fans. Did this week's episode change that for you?
You know, I really need to see episode 3 to find out direction they're going in, but guess what? We just had our fucking fall finale.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, they just aired the episode Roanoke and the Katerina Rostova conclusion, which they probably meant to air last year.
Yep.
They're probably supposed to be episodes 20 and 21 from season 7.
Which would have made a lot of sense.
Yep. And then now we're on our fall finale, if you will. It doesn't come back until January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you take it in that context that you're actually watching the last two episodes of the previous season, it does make sense the way the show started and how they really jumped into the drama with both feet. And then we had the dramatic conclusion of Red shooting Katerina twice in the chest and then them hauling her body off. But we don't know if she's actually dead or not. And then, you know, Dom dying and Liz turning on her. They just did a lot of things that you wouldn't expect to see at the beginning of a season.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes sense that that was probably how it was supposed to end last season. What did you think overall, I guess?
Well, here's the thing is, I remember when we were talking about this show last season, and the more it went on, the more we were saying, boy, I just don't like this show as much. Boy, this show kind of sucks now. Boy, I wish that, you know, it could go back to actually doing Blacklist stuff and we could stop focusing on Liz exclusively. And we were getting more and more frustrated and more, like, disliking the show. And now I'm remembering all of that and why. So it's possible. Like you said, if this is the last two episodes of the season that we really didn't like, then they've got a chance to redeem themselves starting up here soon.
Yeah. So in January, when the show comes back, I really honestly feel that's the true start of season 8. Not the two episodes we just had.
Right.
So,
But yeah, as of right now, it's not really like thrilling me. And if it stays like this, then I just don't care. You know, it's turned into a show where they're so busy trying to dance around one mystery of who is Red and who is he really. And now, you know, they're even adding to that with, oh, he's N13.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, it's some unknown agent that was like the most notorious and blah, blah, blah. So who cares? You know, just let us get back to the Blacklist itself. Let us get back to actually caring about the monster of the week. And who cares who Red is? Just let him be a cool, enigmatic guy.
Yeah. Which we'll see what happens.
Yep.
Because, of course, it ends with like Liz screaming at him, I saw you pull the trigger.
Yeah.
So again, we'll see what happens.
Yep.
In January when the show comes back.
Speaking of shows that are coming back in January.
Yeah.
This Is Us.
Seriously? Four episodes and we're on a mid-season finale already? Or you know what I mean?
I was going to say you just got done saying how we were on two episodes of Blacklist and went to a.
Well, but see, here's the thing with Blacklist. I can accept it because that should have been like how season 7 ended. Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas this clearly starts out with COVID's going on and everything else.
Yep.
And realistically, we've only had four episodes, but only 3 weeks of the show.
Yep. Season 5 returns Tuesday, January 5th.
Jeez, I'm crow. All right. What'd you think of it?
Well, I had to laugh. You know, I've got to jump right to the very end because I had to laugh and say, well, good on them. They made it 5 seasons before they finally did an abortion story. You know, most other dramas would have had an abortion story earlier on than this. But no, kudos to This Is Us for waiting 5 seasons before they get into it. So, yeah, that being said, the rest of it was good. But the fact that they did that, it made me like facepalm a little bit because I'm like, fuck, come on, really? We're going to do this?
It doesn't surprise me they're doing an abortion story. I mean, it really doesn't.
Oh, no, I'm shocked that it took them this long. And again, glad that they waited this long, I guess. But holy crap.
Well, they touched on it again, like you said, at the end of the episode a little bit. The big story was Deja's boyfriend is going to help intern. Malik is going to intern that day. And for Randall, they'll help him out. She's going to help him out with his daily talk he does, or his once-a-week talk where he does like a video message live to people. They can watch him talk about stuff, and then he's supposed to shut the camera off and – he doesn't, and apparently Randall doesn't close his laptop either when he's done.
It wasn't the laptop. It was the webcam. He just had a standalone webcam that they were wireless.
Okay. But anyhow, so he starts doing a little Randall dance, and he's changing so they can go for a run. And Malik is on the phone dealing with his daughter, with his mom and his daughter. And so he goes viral. And as a result of going viral, the Asian fellow we saw from the previous episode listens to Randall talk about his birth father, William. And then, of course, he looks at the picture of him and Randall's mom. So that story got built a little bit more this week.
Yep.
And Malik is going to be a full intern for Randall. Malik has a plan as far as going to college and going to culinary school and opening his own restaurant. And an internship will look great on his college application. And so he's going to do that. And he's like, Deja's going to accuse me of destroying your life.
No, he's Deja, like, actually, yeah. Yeah, Deja walks
and
right
she
up
to says, him. She says, no, you're ruining my life. He goes, I know that, honey. And then she kisses him on the cheek and says, thank you, and walks off. Yeah. So I thought that was funny.
Shows a little maturity for her, you know, that she realizes that in the long run, this is a good thing.
I do like that he just, to him, that's his daughter, period.
Yes.
You know, Deja's his daughter. No questions asked. And how right. She's like, that's my dad, you mm-hmm. know? And I like when Malik says, oh, yeah, Deja watches that every day. Oh, she does?
Yeah.
She's curious that I told you that. Oh, yes, she is. yeah. I think it's good. I thought it was a good episode. I thought it was a really good episode, actually. But I didn't realize that was also taking a hiatus from us.
Yeah. Kate goes and looks at the ultrasound of the donor woman and thinks that she's, you know, second guessing things. And the woman's like, oh no, it's just cause she blurted out the name that she wants to use for the kid. And
Chloe.
The girl had, yeah, Chloe. And the girl had a story about a Chloe that, you know, kind of screwed her over in school. And so, you know, that name means a lot of shit to her. I get that, I guess, but I've often thought that that's so petty because there are only so many names and, you know, anybody out there. Is
everybody does that.
Yeah.
Everybody does that. Like, I did not want neither one of my kids' names to start with the letter M because I was Mike, their mother's Melissa. I didn't want to do that route.
Yep. So you could be my bod, my boss, who's Chad. And his wife is Charlene.
What? Yeah. What are you talking about? No.
And they have Connor and Cass. Yeah. So they're all C's.
Yeah, I grew up, my neighbors as a kid, you had their, you know, dad's name and their mom's name started with a T. And so now the son and the daughter they had, their names start with T. And their last name starts with T. So all their initials are TT, 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 TT. And so I didn't want to have all M names. I also didn't want anything that rhymed with Labby. Because that was just what I wanted.
I mean, other than I was Abby, what else would there be?
Well, that's why I didn't want to do Abigail, because that can be Abby, and then you have Abby Labby, so I didn't want to do that.
Oh, I've got a friend who's Gabrielle, and
Gabby?
Or Gabrielle, Gabby. And it's Gabby.
Yeah, Gabby, so, yep.
Gabby Labby.
Although, Addison, evidently, Abby Labby. Goes by Addie. Which no one in the family calls her that, period. But like everyone at school does. When I did her parent-teacher conference, oh, Addie's so great. We love having Addie in class. I'm like, where is this nickname coming from?
Ouch. You worked so hard to keep her away from that.
Yeah. I was just like, where is this nickname coming from? I don't understand this. Yeah. Because I don't call her Addie. No one I know calls her Addie. I call her Sinister.
Sinister?
Yeah. I used to call her Addison, and then it was Addison-y, and then it was just Cinny, and then now it's Sinister. So I call her Sinister. And
gotcha.
She's like, yes, Daddy. Okay. Yeah, I know. It's weird, but it works for me. I love it. I love the progression of stuff like that, you know, the evolution of a game.
Absolutely. I gotcha.
Yeah. Any hue.
What was going on with Kevin this week? Oh, this was Kevin. Oh. Basically, this is the introduction of Jamie Chung's character. And
yes.
Kevin is going to be acting opposite her. And he basically, we get to see that Kevin has always been pampered. And we kind of knew that, but we got to see the origins of it. Like, Kate and Randall would sleep through the night. Kevin would cry all night, and they'd always have to pick him up and carry him into the other room. And so they were trying to break him of that by letting him cry himself to sleep, and it wasn't going well. And Rebecca wanted to coddle him. And then we get to see him as a teenager the first time he's doing football. And, you know, the coach tells him that, you know, the coach rides him too hard. And so Kevin's like, I want to quit. And Rebecca's like, okay, you can quit. And Dad's like, I don't fucking think so. You know, that's not going to happen. You can't coddle him. And so they kind of fight over that. But, you know, Rebecca goes up, and because Kevin hears them talking about that, and he's like, yeah, he's going to be soft. So he kind of enlists Randall to help him study the playbook. And Randall shows him some studying techniques, and we see that he's using them even today in his acting. Yep. But basically he tells the director, he's like, you know, you didn't give me any good notes. You basically just rode me. And the guy's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were one of those people who needed an attaboy, you know. You're a good actor. Do you want to keep being a good actor, or do you want to be a better actor? Do you want to be great?
Yep.
And then sends him a gift basket that says attaboy.
And then Kevin, to his credit, when he's talking to Kate on the phone, he's like, basically he's like, he wants to win an Oscar so he can go up there and thank their mom while she can still understand, you know, while she can still hear him or whatever, for everything that she did for him. Like, he wants to win that so he can go up there to put her up there on that pedestal.
And so Kate kind of talks to him about Randall and says, you know, we talked a little bit, and he, you know, he went through an awful lot of stuff. And he's like, oh, come on. Randall went through a lot of shit. We all went through a lot of shit. And basically kind of blows her off. She's like, no, you might want to talk to him about this.
Yeah. So hopefully they work their shit out, I guess.
Yeah.
I watched Fargo. This was a very unique episode. The whole episode was in black and white, and they're in Kansas. And I'm not going to get into detail, but basically this one guy's on the run with a kid, and then they meet up with a guy that's hunting him down, and they kind of have a shootout at a gas station, and then a tornado shows up and sucks them both up in the tornado in the building. And then the next morning when the kid wakes up at the hotel waiting for the guy, it's now in color again. So it was almost like a Wizard of Oz type thing. I don't know. It was a weird episode. Yeah, it was a weird episode. It just seemed really almost out of place, maybe.
Okay.
Let's see here. Superstore made me laugh.
Yeah. Oh, my God. When Glenn walks in the morning to the morning announcements, and he's like, oh, it turns out that this woman in my choir, in my church, has COVID. She seemed perfectly fine last night at choir practice when we were all there. And they're like, you need to leave.
Yeah. And Dina has to be store manager for the day until Glenn can come back. And I love how Cheyenne says, man, Dina, you better kill this because you've shit on Glenn for so long that if you don't, it's going to be embarrassing. And that's essentially the theme of the episode. Yeah, that's the theme of the episode.
Yeah, even Dina says it. She goes, she's right. I have shit on him. I really do have to, like, bring my A game today.
But you know what was even better? Like, when they kicked Glenn out, Dina kind of looks at the camera, but looks at everyone and just says, they made him the manager twice, people. Twice. Yeah. You know, and then we cut to her struggling all day. Holy fuck, the show's not coming back till January 14th.
Wow. We could be in trouble here because, you know, we kind of ended a couple of other shows earlier.
Yeah.
We're going to be ending Bly Manor this week.
Yeah. It's the holiday season. We'll be fine.
But yeah, Superstore was good. I enjoyed it. I liked Glenn's struggle with the donuts. You know, he had bought them 72 donuts and they wouldn't keep them.
Yeah.
You know, because he had them. And
he was excited about the prize wheel. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jerusha was fixing up the garage so that he could quarantine in there. So he had to sit out in the parking lot with his 72 donuts. And he's like throwing them in trash cans, trying to, you know, resist the temptation.
And he calls. I can't think of her name.
Sandra, right?
Sandra. He calls Sandra and like, basically, he wants her to give him the play-by-play of people spinning the wheel, what it lands on, their reactions. Did the wheel seem like it was going to stop on a good prize and went to a booby prize instead? You know, all that stuff.
Yep. And Dina struggles because she basically, like, every time something comes up, she just basically does Dina and tells people to fuck off. You know, Saeed doesn't want to work on the front with what's her name there.
Yeah.
And she's just like, yeah, well, you know what? You're getting paid to do it, so just get up there. And then it turns out that he can't stand her, and they start fighting because she calls everybody mama because she's an idiot. Yep. And so then she's like, okay, now you guys aren't allowed to complain about work. And they're like, what? So, yeah, she's making all these policies. I've worked with managers like this before where she's basically just, you know, every time something is bothering the employees, she makes a snap decision and is like, nope, from now on, you're not allowed to do that. Nope, new policy, you're not allowed to do that. And they kind of come back to bite her because everybody needs to vent. Everybody needs to get their feel like they're heard and, you know, deal with the shit that they're dealing with.
Yep.
But she finds a creative way to do that in letting them smash things.
Well, yeah, at the end when they beat up the wheel. And Glenn sees it and he's like, hey. So. Good episode. Again, this one comes back in January. I know all the shows start late, but you would think maybe they're hoping we got a few episodes in the can. Maybe we can get through this a little bit. We can start filming again in the spring of the seasons when we don't have all these restrictions, maybe.
Could be. But
other than The Mandalorian, do we have any other TV shows?
We sure do.
Oh, go ahead.
We also have The Unicorn and Animaniacs and Hellstrom.
Oh, geez, I'm Crow. We have a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. What the hell are you talking about, man?
So Animaniacs, what'd you think?
I only watched the first episode. I enjoyed it. It was irreverent. It was pretty much what I remembered. And, yeah, I enjoyed watching this. I enjoyed having fun with it.
It'll be interesting to see episode two, if it can continue or if it's just going to try to be a nostalgia piece.
Right. I know that I've seen a preview for one of the episodes and, they're doing like Odysseus's journey and he, ends up on the Cyclops's island and Cyclops is Trump. And hilarious. You know, he's talking about stuff, including the fact I have two beautiful working, fully functioning eyes. And he's a Cyclops, so yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Last night, Team SmackDown, it was the Survivor Series, and Team Raw and Team SmackDown, men's Survivor Series match, Teams of Five will survive, and Team Raw won in a sweep, so they eliminated everyone from Team SmackDown, no one from Team Raw got eliminated, so they were up 5-0, and like one of the backstage interviewers for SmackDown posted on Twitter, SmackDown won by a landslide at the men's Survivor Series match.
Nice.
And everyone's like, I see what you did there, you know.
That's nice. I like it.
Yeah.
The Unicorn, it's complicated.
Great episode.
Yeah.
We're still, he's like, I feel something Wade's like, I just feel something special about her right here inside where it counts, this and that and everything. And Delia, no, there's red flags everywhere. You're just not paying attention to my red flags. And
finally, like when they ask him, what's her last name? I don't know. You don't even know her last name? Well, yeah. I have a good feeling.
Yeah. We're going to go have dinner tonight. And not only will I learn her last name, but I'll learn her middle name, too.
Yep.
So he shows up for dinner, and she's there with her son, and her ex-husband hasn't showed up yet to pay attention to watch Ben.
Right.
And not Ben, Jesus Christ, I don't know. Whatever.
Barry or something?
Barry, yeah. Whatever Delia's son's name is.
Not Delia. And,
Shannon. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry. So they decide to eat supper. So she's going to make him dinner. And he's like, oh, a trained chef's going to cook me dinner. Oh, okay. So they have a nice dinner and they have a bottle of wine and they get to know each other and they're having a great time. And then, like, her husband, her ex-husband walks in the house and he's going through the cupboards or something. And basically, he finds out this guy lives in the garage. But he has to come in the kitchen because that's where the food is and that's where the bathroom is.
Yep.
And so Wade kind of has a hard time with that and leaves. And then eventually the two of them talk. And basically he's like, look, I think I like you a lot. I think this could go someplace. Yes, maybe I overreacted, but you probably should have told me that, you know, your ex-husband lives with you. And she basically says, look, neither one of us could afford to sell the house and buy our own place and this and that. So is it ideal? No, but this is what works. And for one thing, the ex-husband seemed cool with it. Like, oh, hey, all right, cool. Nice to meet you. Sorry I was late, or sorry I forgot I had to watch him. It wasn't one of those he's still jealous and in love with her type storylines.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that, you know, he's given her shit. He's like, yeah, you should have told me about this. She's like, I know. But, you know, things, I don't know everything about your divorce. And he's like, oh, I'm not divorced. She died. And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. You're a widower? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, you should have told me that. That changes everything. And he's like,
I don't see how that does.
Yeah. Well, I think because he now has the kids full time, no matter what. Like with her, she can give the husband away.
True.
That's one thing to consider. And the fact that where his wife died, there's probably more emotional baggage there than if they got divorced.
Yeah. Maybe.
You're literally living in the shadow of somebody who
would have been
still with her if she hadn't died.
That's true. She did bring up the point that you probably get laid a lot.
Yeah.
And he said, no, that's not who I am, but I could have. Okay. No, I really could have. Yeah. Okay. No. Like I really, okay. I get it. Like I did like that.
Like stop digging. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see where it keeps going. We're not going to get an episode till next week. There's no new episode this week. Cause you know, Thursday's Thanksgiving and all.
Oh yeah.
So Hellstrom.
This is one of those shows that like
it for us.
This is one of those shows where I feel like every week when I go to watch it, I'm like, did we actually talk about it the week before? Because I think we've said this a number of times, but it still holds true. This show is good with an asterisk, and that asterisk is, you know, that it's doomed from the get go. The same reason I don't watch Swamp Thing is because, you know, we know that this is the only season we're going to get. So why attach ourselves to it? But it was good. Basically, this episode was we'll say Dad. OK.
Yeah. Episode 6.
Yeah. So Dad goes to the asylum because he's looking for Mom. And basically, Damon is supposed to be heading there with the priestess. I know she's a nun. I like priestess better. It sounds cooler. So he and the priestess are supposed to be heading there. They get waylaid by a flat tire. They stop at, you know, the one service station where there's the one guy working there. And he's like, oh, I'm doing an oil change and I can get your tire right after that. You won't have to call a tow truck. And then he gets murdered because some of the inmates are free and they're all possessed. And so, you know, they have to fight them off. Basically, they tell Damon, you know, we were just supposed to delay you. We're just supposed to make sure that you don't get there in time because, you know, we find out that Dad is at the asylum and he's looking for Mom to do whatever. Anna goes to sit with Mom. She doesn't want to, but basically the handler there is like, you got to go. Somebody's got to watch her. It's you. Go deal with it. You know, grow up. And she goes and sits with Mom, and Mom seems to be lucid. She doesn't seem to have any trace of the demon in her anymore. And, you know, she's trying to catch up with her about things. And Anna's just like, no, I'm not having any of this. You know, you fucked me over. But then she wants some answers about, you know, did you know that Dad was doing this? Did you know this? She's like, no, I really didn't. Don't you think that I would have, you know, stopped if I had? And he was very powerful and blah, blah, blah. Dad kind of wrecks the joint, kills some people, possesses some other people, and generally fucks the place up. We get a nice showdown fight between him and Damon and Anna, and they get their asses kicked, and he's about, you know, he opens up that big maw in his chest and he's about to eat Damon, as it were, and instead Mom picks up the skull of the, what is it? I want to say defender, but it's not.
The caretaker.
Yeah. And basically jams it into his maw because, you know, that's how it works. You see a hole, you stick something in it. So shoves the skull in there, and that causes him to start disintegrating, but not fully. Like, he loses his legs and like he's just a limp thing on the ground, but he kind of laughs and grabs Anna's ankle and transfers some information to her. Like, at first it looks like he's going to possess her, but he basically just like implants the image in her head or gives her some kind of telepathic information so that at the end she can say, "That wasn't Dad." You know,
yep.
Dad's even more powerful. This guy who kicked our asses was just one of his underlings, essentially. And the final scene before, right before that, is that Mom now seems to be possessed again. And the demon actually says, "I hope you said your goodbyes to her because she's not coming back." And then takes off with the body of this demon who was Dad, but is not Dad. And takes off in the back of a truck with him. And yeah, we're kind of left like, oh, everything's fucked.
Yeah, this would almost be like the mid-season, you know, finale cliffhanger. And we'll come back in a month or two. And
it give sure you the felt that way.
Yeah, it really did. It really, really did. So I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you're right. This is a show where it's like, but, you know, it's doomed. We're going to get these 10 episodes. It's going to be the final. You know, we're not going to get any more because, you know, the Marvel television is closed, if you will. And
right.
This is it.
Yep.
So no matter how it ends, we're not going to get anything after this.
Correct.
So.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Makes it a little sad.
It does. We'll skip over the Mandalorian, talk about that at the end. You got any movies to talk about?
You know, I don't. Like I said, it was a busy week for me getting ready to go on my vacation. I intended to watch more stuff, but there were a lot of shows that, you know, we did the extra bits on or whatever, so I did not get any movies. What about you?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of movies.
Yeah, yeah.
Not 13.
Well, last time it was like 11, yeah. So.
Yeah. I watched the one called Bushwick. Have you ever, okay. Did you ever see this? It came out a few years ago starring Brittany Snow and Batista.
And no.
Essentially, like, her and her boyfriend, Brittany Snow and her boyfriend, get off the train in New York, and there's all this chaos and commotion going on, and he's immediately killed. And then she's just kind of on the run. There's these guys in black. It's like they're decked out in like commando gear, but it's all black, and they've got assault rifles, and they're zip tying people on the ground, and they're killing people, and the police, they're getting shootouts of police, and on and on and on. And the long and the short of it is this: Texas is seceding from the United States. Oh, wow. And it's a militia with all these other states. With Texas has announced their secession, but Texas, Florida, parts of Georgia, Maryland, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, South Carolina, North Carolina, even Pennsylvania, Maryland, they've all have a militia they've gotten together. So basically a big chunk of the United States is kind of grouped together with their own private army, and they're now attacking New York City, and their plan was to take hostages, but they didn't count on people fighting back because they figured the immigrant population of the city wouldn't fight back. They just give up. But now they're fighting back. So now they've been given orders to shoot to kill these soldiers, quote fingers. So basically, it's like they're trying to start a civil war, and they're trying to force the president of Congress to sign the secession papers so that Texas and Florida and a few other states can succeed from the United States.
Okay.
And it's the story of that. It's not the entire story of that. It's just a story of Bushkill, New York, that one suburb or whatever, borough. And yeah, it was decent. It wasn't what I expected. They shoot the movie like it's supposed to be one long continuous shot with the camera, how they do the camera work. It's one camera that follows the action all around and everything. It was well done. I enjoyed the movie. The ending was very surprising, which I'll tell you about off air if you want to hear it. Okay. It's on Netflix today only. It leaves Netflix today.
Okay.
The 23rd. So I watched that. I watched Deadpool 2 because why not? I was absolutely just sitting here today, and in between work, and I was like, I'm going to put, Deadpool 2 is on Hulu. Let's watch that. Kaden wanted to watch a movie the other night, so we watched Rush Hour 3 because he hadn't seen that. It's a good flick. Kate and I watched When Harry Met Sally because we watch a movie on the weekend now. It's usually an older movie. I say an older movie. The movie came out 30 years ago, which is crazy to think that that was 30 years ago when that movie came out, but that's the way it is. Yeah, right? Fuck. You do realize that we're coming up in a couple years now on the 50th anniversary of Rocky.
Adrian!
You know what I mean? Like, I was talking to Kate because, you know, she's 7 years younger than I am, and it's just like, does it feel odd to you that a movie that you really enjoy has been out for 30 years now, 31 years technically, and that's within your lifetime? She's like, yeah, that really is.
Wow.
So, and then I rented a movie from the old Redbox. I haven't done that in a while, but I rented a movie and I watched The New Mutants.
Oh, what'd you think of that?
That's a movie I watched.
Okay.
And probably never will watch again.
Not surprised.
It's hard. It's okay. The movie in itself was decent. As far as you're watching a story, they talk about mutants. It's in the X-Men universe. There's no crossover character-wise with any other X title in this. They talk about Professor Xavier. They introduce Mr. Sinister in this. You don't see him, but they introduce him by name.
Okay.
It almost looks like this was shot during quarantine because, except for the very beginning, the whole thing was just them at one house with one teacher that was there, or one doctor that was there who's assessing them, and there's only the five kids.
Okay.
Or teenagers or whatever. So, I don't know why it took them so long to release this movie. It's not like it's fucking phenomenal. I didn't listen to the commentary track on the disc, but I did read something today that the commentary track is the director of the film and I don't know if it was the artist or writers for the New Mutants comics. This guy had a lot to do with the comics, and they don't even talk about the movie at all through the whole movie. It's the director interviewing this writer or this comic artist about his career. His career at DC Comics, how he got into Marvel, how he started the New Mutants. The only thing they talk about the movie from what I read, the only thing they talk about this movie is when he's an artist, says, hey, what happened to the animated opening that I helped them produce on this and did a part of? Where'd that go? And the director said, yeah, it didn't fit with what they wanted, with what the studio wanted to do. Anyhow, yeah. So, I mean, I have now watched every X-Men film.
Yeah.
So I checked the box watching it. I cannot give it a hard sell. Okay. I can only give it a... It's wow, the wind's really blowing out there. I can only give it a... This is a comic book movie you may not have seen yet, and if you don't watch it, then you wouldn't have seen all the X-Men comic book movies.
Okay.
So.
Well, alrighty then.
Trailers?
Let's see. There were a number of trailers this week. I sent you one for Run.
That's on Hulu already.
Yeah. I'm not sure that I'm going to watch the movie. It looked
very Munchausen by proxy predictable type thing.
Yes. Yes.
But I will say that the guy that did, he wrote and directed, or he wrote, or maybe just directed Summer of 84.
Yes.
Did give it some praise on Twitter. Saying it was excellent. He really enjoyed the movie. So that will probably make me check it out at some point.
Okay.
So.
I sent you a trailer for one of the most god-awful looking reboots or whatever, Tom and Jerry.
Yeah, that looks really, 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 really bad.
Yeah. This movie should not have been made. It should not be watched. This should go down in flames.
Yep. Yeah. They're animated and they're going to the city where there's a bunch of live action, and then there's other animation mixed in with the live action. It does not look good.
Yeah. I'm not even going to get into the story because I don't think anybody should watch this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And speaking of terrible things, the opposite of that, but based on a terrible thing, I sent you the trailer for A Disturbance in the Force, the documentary covering the Star Wars Holiday Special.
That looks phenomenal. I
haven't wanted to watch a documentary in a long time. Like, I am so excited for this.
When does that come out?
I don't remember. I suppose I should look it up, huh?
Nah, it's all right. Keep going. But no, this looks phenomenal.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think that it's coming right up here. Force. Oh, come on. Don't give me the quote. Documentary.
There is no release date, official release date yet.
Ah, that's too bad. But
they're hoping to have it ready for next year.
Oh, that's good. That's bad. That's good.
Yeah.
And then I sent you a trailer for, well, it was a Chinese trailer for the movie Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is a game series by Capcom that, I mean, they've had dozens of games in this series, and essentially every one of them deals with your character, the protagonist, going out and hunting these giant monsters. Some of them are birds, some of them are lizards, some of them are T-Rexes, but they're all like fantastical beasts. And you carve off body parts and then turn them into armor and weapons. It's this whole big ecosystem, and it's got a huge following. So most people were very skeptical when they heard that this was going to become a movie. I'm still a bit skeptical. It looks like a fun action movie. I don't know that it'll be Monster Hunter, but it looks like a fun, you know, kaiju kind of thing.
It looks super over the top. But when I watch the trailer, I don't know what's going on other than people are fighting monsters.
Yeah.
Like, nothing else explained. When I read the premise online, it's an elite military force led by U.S. Army Ranger Captain Artemis, you know, Mila Jovovich, fall through a portal into a world populated by giant monsters. They meet a hunter, Tony Jaa, who helps them survive the world and fight against the monsters as they seek a way home. Like, I did not get that at all from the trailer. Nope. When I went and looked that up, when I read that after, I was like, well, fuck, I didn't walk away with that from the trailer.
And my thought is that they made the trailer to appease the fans of the game. Because when I watched that, I was like, okay, they're putting in the giant beasts. They're putting in the weapons. Right at the very end there, they had the Palico, which those are the cat creatures that will accompany you and help you out and cook meals for you. And then you have these big feasts, you know, to buff your stats before you go out into battle. So, yeah, they made that trailer specifically so that fans of the game would see and say, oh, okay, we're behind this. They did not make it for people who are not fans of the game.
Well, there you go. Tony Jaa's got another flick coming out. We talked about Jiu-Jitsu last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Jiu-Jitsu.
And then I sent you one for Chaos Walking, which is Daisy Ridley and Tom Holland. Interesting premise. Basically, all the women are gone because all the men have this thing where they all of their thoughts like project out of them. So whatever they're thinking, you can hear and actually see like crude images of. And it's an interesting, fantastical thing. I don't think it's going to do that well. The trailer was cool, but I think the movie is going to flop.
Yeah. The men are afflicted by something called the noise, and it puts their thoughts on display.
And they say that, like, keep your noise down or stifle your noise.
And they also allude that Tom Holland's character has powers he doesn't understand.
Yep. And they also allude that the women aren't all dead. They're actually out there, and Daisy Ridley knows more than she's telling.
Yeah. Again, I'll watch it.
Yep. And then
I sent you a
trailer. I was going to say, you sent me a trailer.
A movie called Inheritance that came out last May, and I don't know how we missed this one. It stars Lily Collins as someone, her dad dies, and she inherits this estate of his, and out in the woods of this estate, she finds a guy chained up in this bunker. And it's Simon.
And who is that guy?
Yeah. Simon Pegg. And he is not playing comedy slapstick in this at all. He is playing like serious Bond psychological villain? Bond villain is the only way really to describe it. I see it got 25% on Rotten Tomatoes and 4.31 on the Metacritic or whatever, but I don't give a fuck. I want to see this.
Yeah, I'll definitely check this one out. Yeah. Patrick Warburton is her father. And
yes.
He seems to die early on, but
he seems very dead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It looks very interesting.
It does. So. And then the last trailer that I sent you was the Disney Plus original Godmothered.
Oh yes. I forgot about that.
Okay. Yeah, basically, Jillian Bell is a fairy godmother. She's young and inexperienced and just starting out, and all the other fairy godmothers are like, this job sucks, the world doesn't need us anymore. And she's like, no, the world still needs. So she goes to find a girl who she thought was going to be like 8 years old, and it turns out that it's 40-year-old Isla Fisher, who, you know, is a single mom and struggling in the world. And so Jillian Bell's like, no, I'm going to help you. It looks cute. It's a Christmassy movie. I will definitely yep. check this out.
Yeah, I, you know, my wife and I, we have a plan when it comes to Christmas and what we're going to be doing. And as far as movie watching, like I'm very excited about Christmas this year. And I feel like a lot of people are, but I'm not so much as I like Wesley really wants the tree up now.
Okay.
He's like, put our tree up after Thanksgiving. But I've put a strict rule that I'm not going to start watching Christmas shows or anything until after Thanksgiving. And Kate announced this year that she wants to watch Die Hard.
Awesome.
So I said, because, you know, she does. Mm-hmm. She's never seen it.
She's never seen Die Hard?
She's never seen Die Hard, no.
You haven't had her watch that at any point in your marriage or your courtship?
Well, I don't own Die Hard.
You don't own Die Hard?
No, I don't own Die Hard.
I feel like I've wandered into an alternate reality. I feel like I'm talking to a different version of you, or like I'm talking to a doppelganger of you.
I just don't own Die Hard.
How do you not own Die Hard?
I just don't.
You own Creed.
No, I don't own Creed.
You own Creed 2.
No,
I
don't
own. You have a spot reserved for Creed.
Fair enough. Creed 2 is better than Creed. No, I don't own Die Hard. I just don't own it, but it's on Amazon Prime right now. So we're going to watch that. That's our plan, is to watch that Friday night, actually.
Okay.
But I'm just saying though, so I'm looking forward. There's a bunch of movies I'm looking forward to checking out this holiday season. And they put a bunch of, TVG Hallmarky type ones that are Netflix originals. And then, you know, Disney Plus has got some good ones on there. I'm just looking forward to it.
I am too.
After we get to Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I've talked with my girlfriend about the same thing. You know, basically she has watched a few already of the sappy Christmas movies, but I kind of, you know, we just started dating and this is something that we both like. So I'd like to be able to get some opportunities to sit down and watch this stuff with her. So, you know, there's that series on Netflix, Dash and Lily, and we want to watch that together, you know, and some of these good, wholesome, Hallmarky Christmas movies.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of getting the time to do it
yep.
in amongst COVID.
Yes. Yeah, that can be very difficult.
I think that was it for trailers, though. So we got news.
Yep.
Oh,
I don't
real quick. I will say this. You had asked earlier about any new shows. I did start watching a new show, but it's one you've already seen. I've watched the first two episodes of the first season of Titans because that's now on HBO Max. it's a lot different than the cartoons. It's a lot different than what I was expecting. I see why they call it Titans instead of Teen Titans, because everyone's a grown up.
Yeah.
Raven. Not quite sure what to make of Starfire yet. Didn't even get her in the second episode, you know, got her in the first episode, and she's like in Germany and amnesiac and being chased by guys. And, I'm definitely going to stick with it. It's jarring because it's definitely not what I was expecting, but
I get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely get that.
I gotta say though, honestly, like I'm not even trying to pitch at this point. I'm being serious. HBO Max has a lot of good shit, and they really, you know, Titans aside, they have a lot of stuff that I keep adding to my list and wanting to check out. And my list keeps growing on that. Whereas like on Hulu or on Netflix, like I'll add something here or there, you know, one a week or one a month or something like that. But with this one, I just keep adding more and more stuff. I'm really looking forward to The Flight Attendant with Kaley Cuoco.
Yep.
And I know that your big hesitation right now is because you can't watch it on your TV.
Yeah, no, and I know they have that workaround.
If it's you get a stupid workaround.
You can do it through the Mac, the Apple iPlay, or whatever it is, and on and on. Say, no, I'm going to wait for them to do an HBO Max app. When they have an app, then I'll look into it.
Yep. Makes sense.
So I'm holding out.
So what do you got for news?
I don't have any news.
what a gross way to say that. You're just like, I don't have any news.
Well, you didn't have any movies, sir.
That's true.
Yeah, that's I don't have any news.
Well, I saw a few things this week. The Green Lantern HBO Max series is going to be TVMA. At first, I was like, oh, wow. And now that I've seen Doom Patrol and Titans, I'm like, yeah, okay. Makes sense.
Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
I sent you an article about the Black Friday movie that's coming.
Yes.
That I really want to see. Bruce Campbell and Devin Sawa and Michael Jai White.
Yeah, I don't need to know anything more than that. It's a Black Friday movie with Bruce Campbell and Michael Jai White. So I'm sure he's going to kick someone and Bruce is going to be sarcastic and it's going to be phenomenal.
Oh, I'm still going to read you the write-up because...
No, please do. Right. Please do. Yeah.
You're right. Absolutely. That's all that I need. I just need Bruce Campbell. The fact that Devin Sawa's in there, I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Set on the busiest shopping night of the year, Black Friday, the story follows a group of disgruntled toy store employees who have to defend themselves from legions of holiday shoppers when a mysterious alien parasite sends them on a murderous rampage.
Nice.
How
it got even better just then.
Amazing.
It just got even better. It just shoots. Got better.
It starts shooting November 16th in Boston.
Awesome.
So,
that's awesome.
That's going to be a new Christmas tradition.
I'm very excited about that movie.
Scream 5, they finally announced the title. It's going to be called Scream.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
And it'll be known forever as Scream 2020 or 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming to America, that's coming, the number two, America, is going to hit Amazon Prime on March 5th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And this was interesting. They announced that season four, Netflix announced Friday that eight new characters are joining the cast of Stranger Things. Among the actors joining the series is Robert Englund. You know,
really?
The Freddy Krueger.
Nice.
He'll be playing Victor Creel, a disturbed and intimidating man who is imprisoned in a psychiatric hospital for a gruesome murder in the 1950s.
Cool.
Sounds like a Freddy Krueger type thing.
Yep.
Get behind that. And then the last piece of news that just came out tonight that I was very excited to see is that they announced that the Doctor Who Christmas special that we're getting this year, Jack Harkness is coming back.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is this going to be one of those that's actually just a Christmas special, or is it going to be one of those, oh no, it's the new season's first episode surprise, like they did last year?
I think it's just a Christmas special, but I don't quote me on that.
That's fine. I'm still excited about it. Nice.
So I think that's it, other than Mandalorian.
All right. Well, if you don't want to hear about Mandalorian, then we'll talk to you later.
Correct.
Talk to you next week. But if you want to hear about Mandalorian, Stay with us.
And here we go. So what'd you think?
I liked it.
That's it, huh?
I liked it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Mando and the child. I like the opening where he's trying to get the child to switch the wires around, but don't touch them together. And I'm like, you know, he's going to touch them together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course. And I liked how
really being a kid.
Yes. Yes, because we have yet to see, other than to steal the package of cookies, we have yet to see him use the Force this episode.
Right.
This season, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, what did you think of the episode?
I loved seeing the characters come back.
Yep.
Gina Carano's awesome. Yep. I really appreciate her. Carl Weathers, you know, great. There was one thing in this episode that I absolutely hated. We'll get to that later.
Okay.
But, you know, when I say they're really leaning into the child being a child, like everything is like little coos and baby talk.
Yeah.
You know, like in the first season, he didn't make many noises at all. And in this right. season, he's making noises like crazy. And they're all like baby talk, like goos and coos and ah. And I can't do it justice because I have a bassy voice, but you know what I mean. And it's not a bad thing. It's very cute. It's very adorable. But he's 50 years old. You know, I know that they age differently. Right. But he is 50 years old. And if Yoda was 900 when he died, like the simple math alone says that this kid should be more mature, I would think. But anyway, I liked that we had the character show back up that, you know, he carbonated in the first season. That was kind of cool.
Yes.
I made a comment to myself as I was watching the episode that this is the most useless use of the skip intro button ever. Because if you can show me a person who is ever going to hit the skip intro button that appears on the screen when the intro is A, like 5 seconds long, B is one of the coolest Western twangs in a show.
Yeah. And this is a show I actually watched the complete end closing credits to as well.
Yeah. And the intro has, it's just like, again, it's 5 seconds long and it's just the title of the episode. Like, why would you skip that? It's the fucking Mandalorian.
Yeah, so. No, I it is a useless feature, and you shouldn't push the button. Why would you like that? But this is one of the only shows where I actually look forward to the closing credits. Like, I like the crows. I like listening to the theme. I like watching the artwork that they put up, and I stick with it until Disney Plus zips it away, because now it's just going to be a black screen with credits, you know?
Yes. Yep.
This is also the only show that I have ever watched where I watch each episode at least twice the week it comes out.
Yep.
I have never watched any other show multiple times the same week it comes out. Like Stranger Things, I'll just throw that one out there. It's not like I watched the first episode and then watched it again. Or even back in the day when I watched How I Met Your Mother. I've seen every episode of How I Met Your Mother probably a dozen times at this point, if not more. Some of them definitely more. But even when at its peak, when the new episode was on, I didn't watch it again later that week.
Right.
Yeah. You know, the next episode's called The Jedi. So, yay!
There was a lot to love in this episode. There was a lot of intrigue. We got more of the story of, you know, the Imperial outpost. It is a bit formulaic in that, you know, it seems like every episode starts off where the last one left off. He gets to a place, he needs repairs or he needs information, and as a result he has to lend his skills to them to help solve a problem at some remote place on the same planet that they're on,
right? Or but heading it also to some other shows planet. He doesn't have an indefinite amount of money.
Right.
You know, he's got to kind of barter and trade his services for getting shit done.
Yep. So I like that we got more of the story. I liked watching the battles with the stormtroopers. Have you seen online everybody's obsession with Jean's guy?
No.
There's a blink and you'll miss it scene where you've got the three of them in the Imperial base. And all you have to do is look it up online, Jean's guy. And basically, there's some dude in like a white t-shirt and jeans, and he's standing in like a doorway. He clearly is part of the crew and clearly was not supposed to be in the shot, but he's in the shot just off screen. And so, like, people are talking about that's their new favorite cosplay. And, you know, this is my new spirit animal, blah, blah, blah. It's funny. But again, I knew it going into it, and it's still like you would have had to pause the screen at exactly the right moment to see it. I loved watching the battle.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? I did see that when that was first on, and I thought, who's that back there? Oh, apparently it was nobody, but I didn't realize it was actually, yeah, a crew guy. That's funny. Yep.
Yeah, I saw somebody, they're like, I'm cosplaying the Mandalorian, and he just put on jeans and a t-shirt and stood in the doorway. So I loved watching the stormtroopers getting their asses handed to them because they're stormtroopers and they can't hit anything. Mm-hmm. And even Wessel there, or whatever his name was, the chump that was carbonated, he was popping off shots at the stormtroopers and hitting them. But there was one thing that I hated about this episode.
What's
that? So much. It made the hackles on the back of my neck stand up. And that was when they were watching the recording of the scientist who was talking about the blood sample. And he said, I don't think we will find another sample with this high of an M count. And Jesus, doesn't that piss me off?
Oh, midichlorians?
That they're moving forward with midichlorians.
Shouldn't surprise you.
It shouldn't, but I was hoping that it was gone because they never mention it in 7, 8, 9. Like, they don't talk about that anymore. It's like we were all allowed to forget that George Lucas had introduced that. And then they just, granted, they said M count. So they're skirting around it. They don't necessarily say that it's midichlorians. Maybe it is a way to measure force sensitivity in a scientific way, yeah. But it still got me like,
Hit you in the angers, did it?
Sure did. Sure enough did. But other than that, you know, I loved watching the Razor Crest jump out of the sky and take out those TIE fighters.
Was so awesome.
I love that the kid was like loving it. He's like, and then he threw up on himself.
Yeah. No, it was a great episode. I like that we got, like you said, we got Gina Carano, we got Carl Weathers back. I thought that was pretty friggin' awesome. I liked everything you said that you've liked about it. I don't know. I think it's good. The Moff Gideon used one of Greef Karga's crew members, if you will, to place a tracker on the Razor Crest.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
And what are those suits that they're making? Are those droids or are those battle suits for a new type of trooper that Moff Gideon's going to be commanding?
I think it's got to be a new type of trooper that Moff Gideon's commanding. That's
exciting. I hate that mustache on him, though. It really throws it off.
Yes, it is very. Yes. I'm just going to say, yes, it is very. Yes.
I liked the guy from the New Republic talking to Gina Carano. It made it so that she wasn't so much of a throwaway. You know, they actually gave her a little backstory in that small exchange. He's like, hey, aren't you from Alderaan? She's like, yeah. And he's like, who did you lose anyone? She's like, I lost everyone. He's like, yeah, I feel you. And he's like, we could really use somebody like you. And he kind of leaves the insignia there. Like, hey, if you ever want to, it was cool.
Yeah, which a lot of people are saying that's maybe a way with which they get her off the show, because apparently people want to cancel her for her public speaking out about her own business. I don't know.
I didn't know that she was publicly. No.
Oh, apparently she. I wouldn't say she's an anti-masker or she's a anti anything, but apparently, yeah. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
Yep. Yep, it is.
So cancel culture is going after
her? Yeah, that's what it is. Yep. Cancel culture is going after her.
Huh.
So.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, it kind of is too bad, but I mean, I don't know. It is what it is.
That seems to be the battle cry of 2020. It is what it is.
Yep. Tweeting not much else I can. Not much else you can do about it, I guess.
Yeah. About anything these days.
Yeah. Anyhow, anything. I think that covers the episode, though.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, if that's it for you, that's it for me.
That is it for me, and that is it for you.
Well, on the Twitter machine, I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll talk to you later.